The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Before the week is out, we are going to knock down their doors and shed the light of the law on that nest of vipers. And together, we can make this city safe for decent people.
Decent people shouldn't live here. They'd be happier someplace else.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
Welcome to episode number 2 of Batman on Film, chapter by chapter, a batmanonfilm.com podcast. Ryan Lauer, senior BOF contributor, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing well on this bright sunny day.
Bill. So this is, we had such a fun time doing the Batman chapter by chapter over on the Batman on Film social hour.
That's a genuine podcast. Statement. You are not lying right there.
Yeah.
We had fun covering that thing for 5 months.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I'm Bill Ramey. If you didn't know.
Bill. I'm the founder.
I'm the founder of Batman on Film. So yeah, we had such a good time. We thought, you know what? Let's just spin this off to its own podcast under the Batman on Film podcast umbrella. So this is basically, if the Batman on Film podcast, the original podcast, is All in the Family, and Batman on Film Social Hour, the Batman on Film Social Hour is, if that's Maud, then Batman on Film chapter by chapter is Good Times. Do you get my analogy there?
I do. And okay. I really think that there's going to be some people going, what? Just Google it. And then it's all connected.
Yes.
In the end, it's all connected.
Speaking of that, is it all connected? So before we get going here on this episode number 2, in fact, we're talking about Batman 89. We're doing it chapter by chapter. And this one will be titled Decent People Shouldn't Live Here. We're going to get to that in a second.
Wow.
I want to ask you, since we finished the Batman chapter by chapter, have you watched the Batman start to finish as you were planning? Okay.
It was always a thing as a child when I would hear adults talking about not having time, that it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, we all have the same amount of time a day. And then now as an adult, I really understand that statement of it's tough to get time these days.
Yeah.
But hey,
tell me about it. I have.
Yeah, I know.
Barely any time.
Any time to do anything
at all. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm hoping soon I might do like a double feature of The Dark Knight and The Batman.
Mm, okay. Well, you know, for me, it's getting to that time of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm about a month out or so while I watch The Dark Knight trilogy back to back to back. So that's coming. I have not watched the Batman start to finish since we completed that.
Wow.
That series.
Fan card away.
Yeah, I know. I know there's another. I
just, call yourself a fan.
Example after example of how that should happen. But I am going to get to it. Yes, I am. All right. So this is episode number 2 of the Batman on Film chapter by chapter, as I said, which is now is its own podcast. I should just start this show every time and go Dynamite, since it's, you know, it's good times.
Yeah.
You get that reference as well.
Do it. Yeah. Dynamite. Do it, Bill.
There are a lot of people don't aren't getting that, but
Google's your friend. Just Google it Google's real quick and friend. Then you'll be
yes.
You'll be in.
And we covered the inaugural episode of this new podcast, we covered the first chapter of Batman 89. I'm Batman, so hope everyone listened to that. And if not, go back, listen to that before you listen to this one, because we are going in order.
Hell of a chapter for yes. the opening of this movie. So, yes. Yeah, go back and listen to that one quick, and then listen to this one. Because otherwise, I don't know how you could follow along if you didn't listen to the first.
Yes. I will say that, to note, we are kind of we're making our own chapters for this, because I know on the Blu-ray there's like 75 chapters.
Yeah.
That are about 20 seconds a piece. And I thought, I don't think we should do that. I don't know if we can do 75 episodes. That would take what, a couple years?
Yeah.
You know? So we're breaking it down as best as we can. And this is, I've noticed, because I went through the movie before, I did go through it and before I we started. It is really, it's cut up way more than the Batman was. You know what I mean? The scene, the actual little scenes are very brief.
You know what you're going to get me to do when I rewatch some of these Batman movies this month? Is that I'm just going to think of how does it break down for a chapter by chapter.
Yeah.
Like as soon as I press play, I'll probably hit the time like, oh, let's see, there's 37 chapters. So, I mean, I don't think that's too many chapters for a chapter by chapter. Oh, how about this one? Oh, it's only 20. Maybe this.
Yes.
That's what it is going to do to me now.
Absolutely. So, well, let's go. Decent people shouldn't live here. So we pick up right after the I'm Batman scene with Mayor Borg, Harvey Dent at some sort of political rally
kind of a dinner
like
it's a fundraising dinner maybe or something.
Yeah fundraiser, I guess. You have the mayor there, you have Harvey Dent, who he's introduced as our new DA, our new district attorney. Commissioner Gordon is there as well, and then there's an empty place at the table for Bruce Wayne.
Which is really funny, because I actually didn't pick up on that part. It is right there. They even cut to a shot of Gordon, empty chair, and another guy, and the nameplate of Bruce Wayne's right there. I didn't catch that until I was an adult.
Is that right?
Kind of embarrassing. Yeah, kind of embarrassing.
You're going to lose your Batman card.
I know, pretty much. I do. Would it be fair to say, okay, well, hold on. At the time of this, Billy Dee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
How big was he at this time?
Big.
He was big.
Yeah.
So with that, would you say wasted in this movie? Now, because you don't know the future plans.
Yeah.
At all.
I would say
he's kind of wasted.
I'd say at the time I watched it, I didn't think that, because I figured Two-Face was coming at some point.
Gotcha.
So I thought they used him pretty well. And I think part of the reason he took the role is because it was going to be a franchise and, you know, he would end up playing Two-Face at some point, but that never happened. So no, I never thought that it was a waste, but yeah, he was a big deal. You know, played Lando Calrissian.
I was going to say, I feel Star like that's Wars
films. And I know him from as a kid from Brian's Song TV movie.
I was going to say Brian's Song.
Yeah, he played Gale Sayers and other stuff. You know, he did the old Colt 45 commercials, Colt 45 malt liquor commercials.
Because I think a lot of us can see. My generation, we can group them together now and how what ended up happening to him. He was completely absent. The character was in Returns and then a different actor for forever, obviously, to where it's like, oh, man, they just kind of wasted Harvey Dent in the first one. I don't think necessarily wasted. I could have seen him utilized a little more. But like you said, too, this could have been like Harvey Dent's introduction in year one. You know, we just get little snippets of Harvey.
Yeah.
Dent, full on Harvey Dent. No Two-Face, nothing at all. And building that world of introducing this character. And then so in that regard, I do applaud, and I hope in the Batman sequel that we do get a Harvey Dent and it's just Harvey Dent. There's nothing mm-hmm. about Two-Face, because I think that would be refreshing. I'd like to see a lot of just Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just I think it's popped in my head the past couple of times I've watched this. And I've never asked anybody, so perfect time was now.
Did you ever find it odd after you figured out that Bruce Wayne was absent from this fundraising dinner or whatever this event was? And then, like, Knox doesn't know, they don't recognize Bruce Wayne, which we'll get to in an upcoming chapter, but I just...
I know, I wondered if that was in this... in this or not. And I mean, if I'm on the chapter in the future or not, I don't know. You'll have to bring this up to whoever's on with you. When, yes, that they don't know, if Vicky doesn't know who Bruce Wayne, what he looks like. She's at the, you know, casino night at Wayne Manor. Yeah. And then they have dinner even later, and he asks if she had trouble finding the place.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, I'm like, she was just here the other day. Like, she was just here at the party last night or the night before or something. And yeah, Knox doesn't know and all that stuff. And it's like,
I get the reason why he's absent from this event is because you're thinking, well, he's out. He's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Aha. You know, he didn't have time for this.
But I mean, it adds up too, in the sense of, you know, the name, but maybe you don't know the face because of stuff like this. Hey, here's where all the media is to take pictures. Different time period. It's pictures printed in papers only, basically, unless TV cameras are there. So here's a big event where all the cameras are, and there's the Bruce Wayne name, but there's no face.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a recurring theme of that.
Maybe so.
That kind of explained.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Breaking it down.
I'll go with that. So, I mean, this is, you know, like I said, this is just a very quick, little mini scene. It's a lot of these, that's what I'm talking about. These little mini scenes are like boom, 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 you know? And you can't just talk about, I mean, we'd be done with the show now, basically. Yeah. You know?
Well, that was good. Stick around for next chapter.
But it's, you know, essentially, the mayor, we're going to root out the source of this crime, boss Carl Grissom. And then Harvey Dent, gets up and makes his little spiel. Any thoughts on that? You know, going to root out the nest of these vipers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. A man of few words.
Yeah.
That's as good as I can do, Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah. No one is as cool as Billy Dee Williams.
Nobody. No, not at all.
Maybe Elvis. Elvis is as cool as Billy
Dee. I'll just say, well, but, okay. They do say Boss Grissom. Now, maybe you can confirm, but the writer, Steve Englehart,
mm-hmm.
with illustrations and art from the team of Marshall Rogers and Terry Austin, did a 6-issue run together in Detective Comics in the 90s or 90s in the 70s called mm-hmm. Strange Apparitions. Highly regarded. It's a top 10 Batman story for me. Awesome. Yeah. Excellent. Steve Englehart was hired to write a draft of Batman 89 for the long road of getting this movie made.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims that at the last second they changed Boss Rupert Thorne to Boss Grissom and Silver St. Cloud to Vicky Vale. If you check out Jack Nicholson's, and I'm saying this for people who maybe haven't read it, and that's completely fine, but I highly recommend you track it down and read it. You can definitely see Jack Nicholson's Joker is Strange Apparitions Joker.
Yeah.
Hardcore. So here and listening, hearing this now and hearing Englehart say that before and stuff, the Boss Grissom, that's what snaps in my mind right away. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, this was almost Boss Thorne. We almost mm-hmm. would have had a Rupert Thorne in live action.
I 100% believe that that's the case, and it really doesn't. I don't think there were any shenanigans involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff happens all the time with scripts and whatnot. You know, so, you know, for example, maybe, you know, Ramirez in The Dark Knight started out as
Montoya.
Montoya. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they decided, because I think, you know, they asked Nolan, why didn't you just want a Montoya? And it was like, well, we thought about that and maybe went with that a while, but it just made more sense to make it a different character. So,
and also to know like what ends up happening to Grissom semi early on in this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't, you know, no, Thorne, he's a good long, like a longevity character.
Yeah.
Rather than just have him die within the first hour of our movie. So, but that's kind of what pops in my mind rewatching this now. And I'm completely fine. Obviously, it's not like, oh my God, justice for Englehart or anything like that. It's no, this is Boss Grissom.
Yeah.
And he dies. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Yeah. if you haven't watched this movie by now, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast.
You know what? I've been waiting to visit Batman 89. Yeah. Now's the time.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. I've been staying spoiler free for 34 years. So then this scene does transition into being at Alicia's apartment with Jack Napier, played by Jack Nicholson, and Alicia, the character played by Jagger. She's a Texan too. She's from Mesquite, Texas, if you didn't know that.
It starts with a J.
Yes.
Is it Hall?
Jerry Hall. Yeah.
Jerry Hall. Okay.
Jerry Hall. Yes.
Didn't even look it up.
Yeah. There you go. Jerry Hall. She plays Alicia, and who is Boss Carl Grissom's woman. And some shenanigans. Speaking of shenanigans, there's some shenanigans going on between Jack Napier and her. And you got Jack Nicholson. This is what I always thought about this scene at the beginning. You've got Nicholson there with doing the card thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, did he practice that and learn how to do that just for this movie? You know, I have no idea.
Yeah. He's a jack of all trades. Oh, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'll see myself out. Have a good day.
Yes. Which, you know, he's watching this event on the news, the Harvey Dent press conference, whatever this is we talked about. And he responds with, decent people shouldn't live here.
Yeah, that always gets me.
Yeah.
And we're getting a sense of this character. Like, we know going in that this is supposed to be the Joker, but we don't know before he becomes Joker what he's supposed to be like and what.
Yeah.
It does get me, and it does add something when you have a villain that flat out recognizes there's a difference between good people and bad people. And with this too, like, he notices of like, this is a bad town. Good people shouldn't be here. He knows good people exist and is like, there's just something that adds to that a little bit on my end when that's in movies or TV shows or something.
Yeah. Did it just, because we've seen a completely different version with Heath Ledger in Dark Knight. Do you prefer not knowing anything about the Joker, or do you need an origin story like we got here?
Cop out just depends on the story.
Yeah.
I can't say because I've always known this movie. There's an origin tale for the Joker. There's been versions afterward that there isn't.
Yeah.
And I think both work really, really well in the confines of their story. In my head, I think I would lean more towards it's good to not have one. And it's not just because, you know, I go to the church of Nolan, who has said of, you know, the Joker just is. But I do like that because that does become a little scarier.
Yeah.
If there's no humanity known behind somebody or something, that can be pretty, I don't know, that can be more impactful, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to know anything about who the Joker was sort of person. As that's just my preference. I get this. This was very, a product of its time, right? Yeah. You had to have, you know, the villain has, you see the origin of the villain, how he comes to be.
It's all new territory. So yeah. I think a lot of pressure, obviously, of got to get this right.
This is the first
time that seems.
Well, it's the first big comic book movie since Superman 78. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, Michael Uslan's story, mm-hmm. You know, that 10-year mission to get this yeah. film made and how he was turned down by all the studios. I mean, it was completely different time. And I will, and it is, I mean, so it's made. So there is some tropes from the way 80s movies, these type of, I will say these type, but you know, an action movie with a bad guy, you see the, you know, the bad guy, we see where he comes from. So I get what they're doing here, but so we know immediately here that, you know, he's some sort of mob enforcer, and we're going to learn more about him coming up here. Alicia says, you know, she makes the, says something up in it, like, what about, you know, they're going after Carl, or tough talk about Carl. I don't remember the exact words. And he said, if this clown could touch Grissom, I would have handed him his lungs by now. You know?
And I like that. And then I also yeah. like after, I think the response to that, she says something about Grissom doing that to him if he found yeah. out about them. And Jack just like, don't flatter yourself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like a minute later too, and she says, you know, does the great, she says like, you look fine. And then
yeah,
like,
you look
one
fine.
Of the best lines from this movie that, I mean, all of us nerds use a lot, you know, I didn't ask. Like, this is,
it's not the only the line, it's, he looks at her like, looks at her,
don't hey, touch me.
Yeah. Looks down at her hand on his shoulder. She, I mean, she, when Jerry Hall says that line, it is, she is very Texan, and it's, you look fine. Mm-hmm. You know, she can't get that she accent out.
Expands that eye. That
yeah.
Line. And you've got this guy fooling around with his boss's woman behind yeah, but, his boss's back.
Yeah.
You look at the two, and it's like, she's probably what, 20 years younger than you or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has, and he's just like treating her like shit.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, condescending and just like little jabs and stuff. And it's like, I know what I just said. The guy recognizes that good people do exist and they shouldn't be in this area. And then, but then he also turns right around. It's like, man, this is, I mean, Knox says it here coming up in this chapter too. What a dick.
Yeah.
You know, and he yeah. is. Through and through.
Speaking of Knox, after the great delivery of "I didn't ask," that's uh-huh. all, that's Jack Nicholson. That's the best I can do. And he's a, you know, yeah. We cut to the aftermath of "I'm Batman,"
mm-hmm.
and the two goons that he had roughed up on top of the on the rooftop in the beginning. And they're hauling.
I didn't think that he hurt the stocking capped one so bad. The aftermath, he's just
yeah,
like damn, he kicked him in the right spot. But
yeah,
20 minutes later, the guy is still just
yeah. So I wonder who called in that, who called in the police and reported. We got two guys up on the roof. Got the shit beat out of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Because, I mean, you start to hear the sirens when that goon, you know, when Batman jumps off and disappears.
Yeah.
And he does his little, whatever.
So, you know, I'm telling you, man, a giant bat, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we get introduced, we're introduced to Knox. We're introduced to Eckhart.
I think this is great. I mean, obviously, we already know by the first everything that you already talked about up to this point of, man, Burton does such an awesome job introducing Batman. Like, we physically see him, but the myth has been building.
Yeah.
Of this giant bat and stuff. And which those guys say before Batman arrives. And then now they've seen him. And so the guy, like a giant bat. And as we hear with Eckhart and Knox, and what you were about to say too, of like, it is this myth of this creature that's beating the hell out of people. I do really like that of, we're still seeing, it's almost like we got prime Batman because he just dropped in and kicked some ass, but we're also seeing early Batman because he's not just, there's no pictures of him. All you have is just hearsay.
Well, Eckhart says, well, speaking of that, Knox says to Eckhart, you know, there's been 8 sightings in under a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always took it as Batman's been around what, a month or so with Batman 89, or do you think he's been Batman a long time?
Not a long time.
Yeah.
I think for a while, because I think he operated for a while that it was never said.
Okay.
As in like never seen, never, I don't know. I like that part too. Batman operated in the shadows for a while, and you maybe had an occasional that they didn't even, police didn't even write down on a report. You know, it's just like, oh, this druggie has been busted. Said he saw a big bat that punched him. We're not even going to write that. He's nuts. Let's get nuts. just my interpretation.
Is there a 6-foot bat in Gotham City? And if so, is he on the police payroll? And if so, what's he pulling down after taxes?
See, I like his delivery on that.
If so,
is he on the police payroll? And if so, what's he putting down after taxes? His entrance.
Don't be printing that shit, Knox. These guys are drinking Drano.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Our mutual pal, Boudin Pockets, Peter Vera.
Yeah.
If you're talking to him just casually about something and he tells you, he says, thanks for the tip, Dwayne. Would you know exactly what he's talking about?
Yes.
See, he took away my fan card because he said that to me once. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, wait, what? And then he said, like, you're an embarrassment to Batman fandom because you don't know that reference. And then sent it to me. And it is something that Pete now likes to bring up and throw in my face that I forgot it. And I'm like,
he tries to bust the balls on that, huh?
Apologies for not remembering one line of dialogue in a movie from 1989.
Yeah.
That is not a focal centerpiece, but mission accomplished on his end, because I will never forget that line for the rest of my life. And yeah, that's Knox's entrance into the movie of, thanks for the tip, Dwayne.
Yeah. So we've got that. And then another scene, but also it moves right into it. It's Eckhart, you know, kind of looking around, you know, you can see me doing this move with my head and darting my eyes, and he kind of slips off into the dark shadows of Gotham and to meet Jack Napier. Got a snack for you, Eckhart.
You look at Eckhart and he just looks like he's not a good guy, right?
Yeah.
Like he's a really skeezy Harvey Bullock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe worse, dirtier.
I don't know how to use this reputation.
Eckhart. Correct me if I'm wrong. Eckhart, the character, predates Bullock. Bullock's a BTAS character, right?
Bullock showed up in the comics.
After the anime series or before? I don't know, so don't take my Batman
Detective Comics 441, June 1974.
Okay, all right.
Created by Archie Goodwin and Howard Chaykin. But most people got their Bullock from the animated series.
That includes me. Yeah.
I remember him popping up. See, but there's some writer Doug Mensch and artist Don Newton introduced Harvey Bullock in Batman 361, July 1983. So conflicting, but I guess. Oh, but then fans began pointing out Lieutenant Bullock appeared in three panels of Detective 441. So there you go. He did predate the animated series, okay. But I think he got his spotlight. And there, of course, were comics in the 90s that he showed up in.
I was going to say, I wondered because I've never seen anything. And sure. Apparently this is why Bullock was based on the Eckhart character in Batman 89. I think people
new to it now, and I'm not saying like you actually read comic books, but you know, people only exposed to the movies, I think they absolutely could see him in this and be like, oh, this is like a substitute for Harvey Bullock.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but Bullock wasn't such a, I don't think, and anybody can show me proof. An encyclopedia like Robert Reinecke could probably tell me, well, actually, Ryan.
Yeah.
But I think Eckhart's just his own character.
Yeah. I see, you learn something every day with these.
Chapter by
right?
chapter. How about that? You can never stop learning.
No, never can stop learning. So Napier brings Eckhart a snack. And what's he say?
Never got snacks like that in my day.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. He says, what does he say? You're broadcasting it all over, you know, some kind of line about him, you know, just saying it. And he's trying to be on the down and low because he's a dirty cop.
Mm-hmm.
And ends up telling him.
Jack say, shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
I love it.
And then you've got Bob the Goon in the background.
Oh, yes. The hero of the movie.
Yeah. And so he ends up telling him, they get into a back and forth, you know, with the shut up. And I answer to Grissom, not to psychos.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he telling him? You better think about the future, Eckhart.
And then it's like Eckhart runs out of breath. He got no future, chick. I mean, they've got some good characters in this already. Did you buy action figures for this?
You know, wasn't,
or you were an adult, and at this time period, it wasn't cool to do that, so you didn't.
I was.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, because. Now, Batman 89 made it cool again to be a Batman fan, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when I kind of came out of the closet with that.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, I don't know, less than 10 years. And it did get me back into comics, Batman 89. Started going to a local comic shop down there where I grew up. But I just wasn't aware of the action figures as much back then as I am today. It's way bigger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew about, you know, like Star Wars, it came out in the late 70s, and you know, I saw the Star Wars toys, but I never was into that. But I just went, okay, I can wear a Batman t-shirt now, yes. I'll talk about reading comics, but I don't know if I'm gonna go buy a action figure.
I only ask because I was too young. I didn't get 89 figures. Returns were the first time I was getting figures in the animated series. But
I will Bob show you something. Hold on.
Oh boy. Bill has left the podcast studio.
I did make up for it.
Oh, okay. He's it back in. Oh, okay. I don't. Bill is showing me Batman 89 Joker and Batman figures. Unopened. Yes. Still in packaging. You know, if you don't open them, Bill, they're worth a lot more money. You could retire if you sell those.
So I do. I made up for it. That was my point. Thank you for that play-by-play on that, sir.
You're welcome. I initially took us down this path because I'm not a toy expert. That is yeah. Pete and Haas and Justin yeah. and Garrett territory. It's not mine. But I know Bob the Goon. He was a high kicker, which I don't remember him ever high kicking in this movie. Yeah. And then you couldn't put his leg down.
Okay. Like,
that's always the comment with those. So maybe you track those down as well. I need to buy it. I need to get it an 89 figure because I try to get a Batman figure from everything that they kind of release just to get, you know, every single look. And I don't have an 89. So I need to do it.
By the time Batman Forever came around.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman and Robin and then all that. And then up through there, I've got like in the attic because of my kids, mm-hmm. Micah and Jake, mainly. Mackenzie she likes Batman, but she was, you know, she's a girl. She wasn't into it like the boys were. But I mean, I bought them for the kids. Then there are, mm-hmm. I have a huge tote. My chair buckled on me.
Almost had to release a video version of this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got like two totes full of 90s and early 2000s Batman action figures from Batman Beyond, Animated Series, Batman Forever. And, you know,
Pete and I talk about Christmas 1995 a lot because that was – I think like every year now is a Batman Christmas for me, but Batman Forever. And I had some Batman stuff before that I'd gotten for Christmas, but Forever 95 was the first, like, man, this party has a theme and it's Batman Forever. And Pete's, I think he's gone through and he's shown pictures too. Like he has totes of like all Batman, like everything Batman Forever, like he did with the Batman, you know, this year, if he bought everything, like he basically has everything Forever and Batman and Robin. It was really fun and impressive.
Now these 90s ones and early 2000s, they are well worn because they were played with hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they weren't purchased as a collectible to be on display. They were got played with.
It's good stuff.
And I can neither confirm or deny that I might have played with some of them myself.
You joined in.
So, we got Eckhart telling Jack Napier, I answer to Grissom, not to psychos. You're an A1 nut boy, and Grissom knows it. Mm-hmm. You better be sure. Yeah. So, and then you got Eckhart, where you been spending your nights?
Yeah.
So we got someone. So that's saying, okay, someone knows about Jack and Alicia, and you know, you better think about the future, Eckhart. So don't forget about that line because it comes back later, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. Yeah.
And then we're immediately going to a very quick mini scene of the mayor, Gordon, and Harvey Dent at Gotham City Hall walking down the steps while workers are putting up the Gotham 200th anniversary banner. And the mayor is talking about how he wants the whole spiel, balloons, hot dogs, the whole spiel.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're spending a lot of money on this because according to Dent, they're in the red. It's in the hole. And it's just, I don't know. What do you think about it? This little scene? Is it just to set up the big parade at the end? I mean, or just to say, oh, Gotham's 200th anniversary is coming, because it doesn't really add anything.
It overall. Doesn't. It's just a little bit. I mean, to me, it's a more exposure to these guys that aren't necessarily getting, you know, they're not front and center.
Yeah.
You're getting to see the mayor. You're getting to see Harvey Dent again. And there's this celebration that's coming. Is it Gotham's bicentennial?
Yeah.
So. But I don't know. Just to enforce that, which will come into play. Just like a little earworm for you. Like, hey, We have this parade that's coming up soon, this big celebration that's coming up. Keep that in your back pocket. All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on. Speaking of moving on, we're moving then on. Boom, we're right at the newspaper office, and you've got Knox getting his balls busted by all his co-workers about, you know, oh, welcome, yeah. Count Dracula. And, you know, the guy holds up the bat within in a suit, you know, the Batman with the Bob Kane signature on it.
Yeah. Do you think Bob Kane drew that or did he just sign it?
I don't know. Don't know. What did Bob Kane draw or trace?
Traced a lot.
I'm not going to get into the Bob Kane thing. I will ask someone who would know.
Oh, okay. You might know somebody who would know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I'll ask him who actually drew that. It kind of sucks. And like today, like back then, I'm like, yeah, Bob Kane created Batman. And, you know, that's what everyone knows. Now it sucks now that, that we know all about the true story.
We know the truth.
Batman's creation and that Bill Finger didn't get any run in that movie whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got your, what a dick, you know.
What
hello, leg. And then hello, legs. Do you find it? Knox obnoxious in this scene? I think he's supposed to be obnoxious.
I think that there's a lot of, so it's interesting when you give enough time and distance with things. The, what do you want to say? Impression of Knox was, oh, he's annoying. God, he's the most annoying character in the movie for a long time. And then you got people that joined on that because you're just like, oh yeah, the mass thought is that he's annoying. So yeah, he's annoying. And then you have people who love to have the hot takes.
Yeah.
And would say something like Knox is, he's the hero of the movie, you know, something like that, which is just like asinine. And in reality, it's fine to just be like, he's fine. And in the end, I just kind of think like, he's fine, but you know what? He says, what a dick. And six is good. And apparently he says, thanks for the tip, Dwayne.
Yeah.
So he's got three.
Yeah.
He's got three lines from this movie that all of us recite, you know, daily.
Great point. So, great point.
I'm just saying, I remember when Robert Wool got the Arliss series on HBO, and I'm like, you know, I'm a kid. I don't know any better. I'm like, Alexander Knox has a show on HBO, but I can't watch it because we don't have it. And also, that looks like it's an adult show. What's Knox doing? And then I understood, no, actors play different roles.
Yeah. So we're introduced to Vicki Vale here. Kim Basinger playing her.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be Sean Young, was actually cast in the role.
Mm-hmm.
And then broke her freaking arm. Yeah.
In, I don't know what you want to say, like Earth 89. There we go. We'll call it Earth 89.
Yeah.
There's that Sean Young was Vicki Vale. It's really hard to see.
Yeah.
I know this, I know because I've seen a movie how many times over 30 years, but I don't know. Kim Basinger. This is the first thing I ever saw her in because, you know, I was so young when I first saw it that she's always been Vicki Vale. Oh, yeah, that's Vicki Vale. Oh, yeah, that's Vicki Vale.
I can see why if she was Silver St. Cloud, which Kim Basinger could have played Silver St. Cloud. Just as easily. But she was cast for Vicki Vale. But I can see why they changed the character because to have her be a photojournalist made more sense to come to Gotham and then to try to partner up with Knox to find the Batman, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Story-wise. Absolutely. The changing of Thorn to Grissom makes I don't know. I could see that both ways.
I mean, maybe it was like you said, it could be like, okay, maybe we want to bring Rupert Thorne in at some time and make him a longer character. We're going to kill this guy off. So
I think in retrospect, they could have just flat out called him Thorn and it would have been completely fine. I don't see how it's such an easy switch to just be like, well, Vicki could have just been Silver. It's like, no, those are two totally different characters. Silver, I mean, she does campaign events or big event planning and stuff, whereas Vicky is a journalist and, yeah, like you just said, attaches to being with Knox and like investigating Bruce Wayne and all that stuff. It's story-wise, actually, it does make so much more sense that it's Vicky.
And she's one of, in the comics, she's one of the first girlfriends, mm-hmm, of Bruce Wayne. Julie Madison.
Julie was first. The
first. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But isn't it nuts? God, it's getting nuts. That Vicky hasn't really been present since this movie?
Yet.
Hey, I'm all for it. If they do I feel like Reeves would go Julie Madison before Vicky, as far as like maybe a love interest for Bruce in these,
yeah,
in this new trilogy. But that doesn't mean that Vicky has to be a love interest. She can just be a reporter.
Yeah.
And they just see on the TV or something that Vicky Vale.
You make that point about not seeing her again. I think that's very, these movies were product of its time. They had to have a new hot love interest in each one.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
like a new villain, a new love interest too.
Yeah. Because
in which Julie did show up wasted in Batman and Robin.
But Batman and Robin, she did there.
Show up.
Yeah.
And I know Vicky is like, I didn't watch all of Gotham. I don't know if Vicky Vale popped up in that at all.
I don't know she either.
Briefly, like background voice and stuff like that in other forms of media. And she showed up in Brave and the Bold at some point. I assume.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as like front and center, second or third name on the call sheet, she hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, she hasn't been.
That's just because, you know, you had returns and then we're going to have Michelle Pfeiffer and that's going to be the love interest. And then you went to Forever and then we're going to have Chase Meridian. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Just very 80s, 90s type stuff.
Welcome the return of Vicky Vale.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm with you on Julie Madison because Reeves sounds like he's, you know, not sound like it. Reeves is a huge Batman fan. He knows his. Mm-hmm. He knows his Batman history, so he may want to go with Julie Madison. She's come there, and then I think what Knox is like, who sent you? You know, she likes bats, and he thinks that she's there to goof on him, and she convinces him that she's not and says, we will, you know, your story and my pictures, we could win a Pulitzer Prize. And did you ever notice? I've noticed this for years, and I have no idea why it's there. That photo behind them on the wall of Popeye.
No, I don't remember.
On the wall behind them, there's some stuff on the wall, right? Like maybe a newspaper, and there's a picture. There's a framed picture of a Popeye float, like a, you know, like a parade float.
Now.
So I'd never got a lot of those.
Is it flat out Popeye, or is it like the baby float that's at the end?
That's Popeye to me.
It is. Okay. And I'm trying to find a picture.
You looking at it?
I'm looking for it. I can't. So after we're done.
Yeah.
After we're done, then I'll find it and be like, oh, son of a bitch.
Because a lot of these things aren't, you know, you've got prop people who plan all this stuff out with the things to have in the background and whatnot. I just never figured out what the deal is with a Popeye parade float pictured.
I don't know. It's something that Tim Burton saw as a kid, and it's just always, it's what made him creative. There you go.
Probably.
It's like, you know what? I'll ask him when I have lunch with him next week.
You know, like in the dark, like in the Dark Knight, when they're talking about who's Batman, and there's that the suspects, and Elvis is one of them. You know, that's a nod to me, right?
Of course,
yeah,
they knew that. Yeah,
yeah, Chris did that for me. Anyway,
other of note, which of course everybody knows from here, but the Quarter Maltese, name drop,
yeah.
So
Dark Knight Returns.
Back in your day, did that. You remember the day that you saw this for the first time, Bill? Get you like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa,
hey,
whoa.
hey, whoa, 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 whoa. I I'm going back a ways here. I think I remember, it maybe I'm just remembering in retrospect, but I'm thinking, oh, there's the old Dark Knight Returns vibe, you know, nod there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big deal in the story. No. It's just she went and was there and took pictures in some war zone or whatever.
It's just giving the character some depth in the sense of,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, she knows what she's doing. And if she's, you know, taking pictures for Cosmo, and if she wants to take pictures of if she wants Knox to pose nude, you're going to need a long lens. I didn't get that one for a long time. And then I'm like, whoa, hey.
Hey, whoa.
I know. Come on. Whoa, whoa. It's coming on a little strong. That is, yeah, that would not fly in the offices today, Alexander. So
no. No, HR would have words for him.
Oh, yes. He'd be fired. But yeah, I mean, this is, overall, I think it's a good introduction between the two, and how, yeah, quick, I don't know, like, it works, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need, okay, we got them introduced, but they can't be allies yet. You know, it's just like pretty accepting. It's a longer version of like this scene that you just talked about, the 22nd one with the mayor and Dent and stuff like,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just, hey, here's Vicky. She's teaming up with Knox. They're allies by the end of this minute and a half, 2 minute scene.
Yeah. Cool. And he's moving like on, talking about, you know, Gordon's got a file on this and I can't, you know, he doesn't return my calls, or he's going to be at Batman. He's going to be at, you didn't know that. Spoiler alert. Bruce Wayne's, yeah, Batman. Sorry.
Oh shit.
Going to be at Bruce Wayne's fundraiser casino night thing, which I'll get to this in a second. It's weird, but he can't get a ticket, and she pulls out two. She must have got some serious clout. She's got, mm-hmm, scored two tickets to Bruce Wayne's charity event. And he's like, I love you. Will you marry me already? And she's like, no, I'm going to take you to lunch. I eat light. So that sets up what we're going to get to later on. Not in this show, but yeah.
The Vicky serves as, because if you, I don't know like the exact, like the term of it, but in a lot of, you know, pilot episodes of TV series, and then also with movies and stuff, you have a character, a way to get us, the audience, into the world. You have somebody kind of like representing us. Mm-hmm. So Vicky is the representation of us, of, and the others around are, you know, this is what Gotham's like. And you have her, who's new to Gotham, doesn't know all these elements, like us, mm-hmm, the audience. How do you get us in here? And then you have Knox as a little bit of the guide. You know, he's kind of informing her, therefore informing us, the audience, of like what status quo around here right now, and getting us invested and used to the world and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that always, knowing that, that's why I'm always completely fine with Knox. And I'm in, you know, the two are the partners, you know, and stuff like that. I think it works. That's why I've never, yeah, annoyed or bugged by it or anything.
Yeah, it's just small quibble, but like that goes back to not knowing really who Bruce Wayne is, especially not knowing what he looks like. Like he knows who Bruce Wayne is, obviously, because he, mm-hmm, talks about, you know, his event, and he can't get tickets to it, but doesn't know what Bruce Wayne looks like. I mean, aren't, mm-hmm, you an investigative reporter? Come on, dude. So,
and a lot of people, for general audience, I mean, I only know by reading back and stuff, but I mean, people aren't as aware of Batman as people are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, their familiarity is Adam West Batman. And this is obviously, yeah, a complete 180 from that. But other than that, you know, and it's as a whole, two generations, you know, early. So I don't know, this is all almost treating of like, we've got to familiarize people with Batman, who Batman is. And that's like, this is almost, I mean, it is basically, it's an introduction of Batman to 80% of people.
I mean, I guess
I
get what they're going for is like, you know, even Bruce Wayne is this mysterious character that, mm-hmm, person in Gotham that we know who he is because of the Wayne family, but really don't know much about him. you know? So that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. So in the last little mini scene of this chapter, we go to Grissom's penthouse and we get to say this, son of a bitch.
That's where Reeves always has seen that. And I'm like, I think we can do it better.
Yeah.
I think we can do it better.
Hey, son of a bitch. It's all connected, right?
It's all connected. Yeah.
It's all connected. That's Reeves was influenced by Grissom.
He sure was.
And his son of a bitch. So that
son of a bitch.
We get that from, I just did the Batman chapter by chapter and I forgot the name of the character. You son of a bitch.
Bach,
Mackenzie Bach. You son of a bitch. So anyway,
son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then, you know, you should have had like, we'll get there and, you know, at some point, maybe, you know, Martinez could have been at the casino night going, hey, Mr. Wayne. You know,
it is all connected because I think we even said with that of Martinez standing next to Gordon feels very much like in Batman 89. When maybe it's Dwayne, the police officer comes up next to Gordon in 89. Yeah. Like that was very familiar in the Batman. So it is all connected.
Yeah. So basically, Harvey Dent is going after Grissom. And it's getting closer, getting a little uncomfortable. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And you've got super cool, you know, too cool for school. Jack Napier sitting there doing his card deal and just said, I think we break in and mess up whatever he says, ransack the place and make it look like, take the records, make it look like industrial espionage.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's a plan.
Yep. Sounds good. Sounds good. Yep.
Sounds great. Jack Palance is great in this scene. Mm-hmm. He's great in everything he's in. He's not in this movie very much, but he's like, Jack, that's a great idea. You know how he talks. I want you to handle it.
And I know. And I like Jack. Me? But then flips that card over. Foreshadowing, Bill, because also spoiler. Jack becomes the Joker.
Yeah. He just happens to have that one card and it's the Joker card. Just like, you know, the amazing Joker drawn by, I don't know, Bob Kane or Dick Sprang, you know, from back in the day. So on the card.
And he says, and so, you are my number one guy.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want
that'll come up later.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, what does he say? Say, Carl, you know, that place, Axis Chemicals, the fumes in that place, get somebody else to handle this. He's like, does the old,
yeah, let me rub your shoulders for an uncomfortable amount of time.
Jack, I mean,
yeah,
the breath, you are my number one guy. And Jack's just kind of like, okay.
All right.
Got no choice here.
Yeah.
Guess I'll go back to his chemicals.
And then enter Alicia.
Yeah.
That's before.
Okay. That's before he said, you know, let's get in there and tear up the joint and make it look like industrial espionage. She comes walking in. She's been shopping. She's got like 47 bags.
Yeah.
Of
and then, and this is pure, I mean, pure editing.
Yeah.
Nothing needs to be said.
Yeah.
And all of us as an audience know.
Yeah.
Grissom knows what's going on between.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just between like Alicia, Grissom, Alicia.
She comes in, Jack, she looks. Yeah.
Alicia, Grissom again as Grissom's side-eyeing.
Yeah.
That Jack. So it's like, you know, that's just editing.
Because
you know what's going on. Nothing needs to be said.
Jack Nicholson as Jack Napier has this great smirk on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even do it. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I should screenshot that and put that up. But anyway. So he sends old Jack off to take care of this. It acts as chemicals. And he said, oh, Jack, don't forget your lucky deck. You know?
Yeah. I always thought that was a cool, like, sound and flicking of the deck.
And Jack just, you know, he's kind of defeated. Like, I don't want to go there, and but I have a choice, you know? And he just kind of turns and goes. And then you got Palance with this shit eating grin going, my friend, your luck is about to change. So
I would always laugh and make fun of him. This is, I know, like the last part of like this chapter as he sits so robotic, but he's also so like cocksure about what he's about to do and get in the phone. Get me Lieutenant Eka. It's so like overdone, but I mean, it fits in with his with the arrogance of what he's so proud of, what he's about to do.
Yeah.
Got me Lieutenant Eka.
So we know that Grissel knows about Jack and Alicia. We know he's heading to Axis Chemicals. And he's asking for Eckhart. And there's going to be some tomfoolery at hand coming up for Jack Napier. And that's where we end with this this chapter two of Batman 89. Thoughts?
It's good. It's a definitely it's a setup, I think. Setup on the myth of the Batman. It's a setup of Eckhart dealing with Jack, as well as dealing with Grissom, as well as dealing with Knox, and then new character of Vicki Vale working with Knox. And then of course building towards, you know, what we don't know at this point, if it's your first viewing, the grand finale of the Gotham Bicentennial.
Yeah.
So when you break it down, which has been the whole point of chapter by chapter, you realize like how many elements,
a lot of characters were introduced to here.
Dwayne,
Martinez, Hawk, Kinsey.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, Vicki Vale, Knox, Eckhart, Jack Napier, Grissom. A lot in just less than 10 minutes. Yeah. A lot of characters. So there you have it. So we'll be moving on to chapter 3 of Batman 1989. I've seen this movie so many dadgum times that I don't know how many little things I can pick up anymore, but I'm trying. But I did enjoy. Well, I'm going to enjoy watching this.
You know what you picked up? Harvey Bullock's first appearance.
Exactly.
There you go.
You learn something every day.
There you go.
Never stop learning.
Never.
Learning's a lifetime thing, Ryan.
It is.
Yes. All right. Would you want to plug anything?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Go to batmanonfilm.com.
Okay.
I've got reviews, podcasts, interviews, and posts on Batman on Film. And then my podcast, The Batman Book Club. Bill posts on the site. And if you, wherever you listen to this podcast, you can listen to the Batman Book Club. Follow on Twitter and Instagram at the Batman BC. Most recent episode is talking it's all connected, Bill. The Strange Apparitions follow up by Steve Englehart, Marshall Rogers, Terry Austin, Dark Detective. It's the most recent episode with one Sir J. Yaws, who I met down in Texas at the BOF watch party.
This is, that's some serendipity there.
It is.
You just happened to talk about Dark Detective, which is a sequel to Strange Apparitions. And we're talking about Batman 89 and how much that had an influence on.
Incredible.
On Batman. Wow.
Incredible.
Is the Joker, one last thing, you know, the Joker patch, it's on the helicopters and they wear them, the jackets with the Joker face.
Yeah.
That's Marshall Rogers, right?
I mean, gotta be. Well, one, I really approve of some of these former movies of the villains getting their own swag to give all of their henchmen. I really, I miss that. I'm Googling really quick because I want to look at it even closer, because somebody will be I say the wrong thing and I know somebody can come back and let me have it, take away my card. I don't know that that's Rogers. I mean, that almost, at least on this jacket that I see, yeah, that's almost got a Bond influence to it. And we know, because, I mean, they used the quote that Burton said the Killing Joke was like the first comic, or at least first Batman comic that he ever loved. So I don't know.
I know someone who may know. I will ask.
I think you should.
And if you do know, if you're listening and you know who did that Joker logo artwork with the Joker face, shoot me an email or just respond in the comments, because I want to learn. Like I said, I'm a lifetime learner, Ryan.
When I got to speak to Mr. Uslan earlier this year, when we talked about his new book, I got to ask him a very specific question about Batman 89. That according to him, he'd never been asked before. And then he also didn't really answer it. But I think he kind of did too. So if I get, yeah, I think that'd be great to, if you can send a little nugget his way, asking about the Joker jacket.
Yep.
It's an all answer. Right. The people want to know, Bill. They demand it.
They demand it. Obviously, yes.
Hashtag jacket justice.
Jacket justice. All right. Well, for me, just go to Batman on Film. Check out, I will plug because it's complete, check out our all 18 episodes. Was there 18 or did we do 19? 18?
19. I think 19, because 18 was credits, but we did 18 as the deleted scenes, and then 19 was the...
Okay. Check out all the shows we did for the Batman chapter by chapter. I'm pretty proud of that. And it's there for your listening pleasure. Wherever you find your podcast, announcer Rachel will take us out, and we'll catch you next time.
You have been listening to Batman on Film, Chapter by Chapter, a BatmanOnFilm.com podcast revisiting the cinematic adventures of the Dark Knight, scene by scene, chapter by chapter. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For BOF news only, follow at The Batman on Film on Twitter. To become a BOF patron, go to patreon.com/batmanonfilm. To advertise on BOF, visit advertisecast.com/batmanonfilm. For Jet and Team BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original. Batman on Film. Established in 1998.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.